هاي دار.
هاي بابا. السلام عليكم.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. كيفك؟
الحمد لله.
هابي بين.
الحمد لله. doing well. doing well. tell me.
See, this is my point when I say you don't know how to do a conversation. You don't even go like, how have you been? Guys, real talk. My dad does not know how to have a proper conversation on camera. Off camera, we're chilling. On camera, you just kind of go, you know, this chair creaks.
Generally, I don't elaborate too much in talking. Okay, generally.
Sir, that's not true.
Okay.
Zima will testify that that's not true.
All right.
That's not true. Not true.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had, I believe it was a comment or a DM that I received, I don't remember, where someone requested that we make a conversation about, sorry, we make an episode about self-worth. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then I sent it to you and you thought it was a great topic too, so...
I actually think it's an amazing topic, and it's essential to look into it and to change or alter the
perception
of what it is and where it comes from and how to be handled. It changes lives completely. Yeah,
of course. When I didn't give it too much thought because I know that we like to come in here and be very spontaneous in the moment. One thing that I thought of, and obviously self-worth is a topic that can be discussed for at length, but one thing I thought of was the word average, and everyone wants to be special, right? And it really dawned on me that we've made it almost sinful to be average. Everyone has to be... a 10 out of 10, be it physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever it is. Everyone has to be a different breed. And we've made it extremely sinful and very almost shameful to be average. So then you have, I'm sorry, but average is 80% of society.
95, maybe.
I was trying to be nice. Yeah. You have, yeah, okay, but... fine, let's go with your percentage. But anyway, my point is the most of society is average. And we've made it not okay to be average. It's not okay to have an average income and an average house and an average car. And we've made it really...
but we made it very much okay to have at least an average IQ.
And we've also made it okay to be delusional and just lie to yourself and say you're not average and you're the best of the best when that's not true. So we've made it very... not only okay, we've made it a goal to try to attain and achieve. Delusion.
And whom are we cheating? Whom are we playing?
Just ourselves.
Just ourselves.
Of course.
And that would take us to us. To what?
Our own demise.
Yeah. And proper. It will lead us to our demise for sure.
Yeah.
But where does it spark from? Where is the root? Unproper, unhealthy self-evaluation.
Yeah.
Either an overestimated... narcissistic evaluation of oneself, or on the other hand, which is very common phenomena, it's almost a plague, people who suffer from extreme low self-esteem. What a waste of talent, because most of those people are extremely talented.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen people who have really low self-worth when it comes to everything. And there are certain aspects of their life where they should have a lot of confidence because they're either immensely talented by God or by God and they've put in the work, you know? So the talent and the dedication and the discipline is there. But then the lack of self-esteem and self-worth, it just makes them crumble and makes them a shell of themselves that they don't go after what they want. They put themselves in a box. And they cage themselves.
I always like to see the roots, where the problem comes from. Where, because if you understand in diagnosis of any problem, if you understand the origin of the problem, it's easier to see how it manifests and how it progresses, the progression of the problem. And if you decide to reverse the cycle, which is what we call healing, it becomes a much easier process. Okay. So where does this... in my understanding, extremely unrealistic self-worth, which is high self-regards, and low self-regards, which is low self-esteem, are actually the same problem. They are two polarities of the same problem.
The extreme sense of self is also called an inferiority complex. It's an overcompensation for the actual lack and hole that you feel inside.
Absolutely. So where does this come from?
Multiple places. But are you looking for one solid answer?
There is none. As you said, it's multiple places. So we want to try to sum it down to as many variables
My
as we can.
My summary will always be a lack of relationship with God.
Allah, ahsanti.
That's always the answer. I think it's the root of every problem.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know, we might sound like we are just simplifying everything.
But it is that simple.
But it is actually that simple.
I know. It's not that deep.
Who are you?
The deepest relationship in the world is your relationship with God. I agree. But it's actually not that deep. People try to be like, but my parents neglected me as a child.
That's fine.
Yeah, you and 100 million other people.
It happens. I'm not saying it should happen, but it happens.
I understand. But the thing is, it's happened. Are we just going to sit and cry about it?
Yes. Who are you? Who am I? And you, anybody who's listening to us now, who are you? Ask yourself this question. Who am I? Where did you come from?
And let me just give them a little bit of a sneak peek. It's not your name, your age, what you like to do and what you like to drink in the morning.
Exactly. Not that.
It's exactly not that. Yeah. I agree. I think it's the relationship with God because, not I think, I know, because let's go with, you know how I told you it could be multiple other things? Let's start with, for example, one of the reasons someone could have low self-worth is that they were neglected or abused by their parents. God is the healing of that. He is the answer to that. You know,
absolutely.
Let's go with they were bullied in high school. God is the answer to that. They lost someone, went through something traumatic, whatever it is. That's what I was trying to say, is that anything you can go through, a relationship with God is the answer to it.
Anything you go through in life is actually life. It might sound, it might feel, it might painful, negative, or burdensome, but it's actually the process of life. To take that and justify, feed your low self-esteem or high self-esteem with it, that's not the right thing to do, because life is meant to be lived. Now, how is our relationship with God is very important in this. The thing is, it goes back to God.
Yeah.
And it's very, very important to ask a very simple question. Who am I? Who are you? If I ask you who you are, how do you define yourself?
You can go ahead and answer it.
You are a gift of God.
Yeah.
And how a gift is supposed to be handled? If I give you a gift.
With care and affection and
love, with acceptance, with appreciation. And this is where this low self-esteem comes. Whom are you objecting to? Whom are you telling that your gift is not worthy?
I understand, but I think it takes us back to the point of, like I said, with the most people, or what has happened in the agenda has allowed people to feed the delusion of they're not average when they are, and because we've made it shameful and sinful to be average. So a lot of people might tell you, no, I am a gift from God. I'm a 10. I'm amazing. I'm beautiful. I'm smart. They're
playing with the words and misusing them is one of the...
But that's what I'm trying to say, is how do you differentiate between truly that they're handling themselves as a gift of God, but then there's also the delusion of I'm amazing.
You know, what we say and what we do is for those who are actually seeking healing.
Yeah.
And seeking help. If you want to take this and twist it and feed your ego with it, go ahead. Nobody can stop you.
Yeah.
It's been done with every other conceptual thinking before.
Like I saw this, I think it was the Whatever podcast, which I'm very iffy when I watch, but anyway. And there was a, let's call it what it is, an obese, very obese girl, and she's been on the cover of Vogue and. I don't remember exactly what the gist of the conversation was, but I think the guest was Andrew, and he was basically telling her, like, you know, she's not beautiful because she's huge. And she was saying, but I've been on the cover of Vogue. He's like, that's, there's an agenda there. And then she was like, no, but I've been in like Sephora and Ulta or one of those, and no makeup brands. And she's like, it had nothing to do with my body. It was just my face. And she started like repeating very erratically, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful. It's because I'm beautiful. And she's like, it's not about my body. Like, it's not about they're pushing an agenda of plus size. It was my face. You can't see. And I really laughed because I just wanted to ask her, you think we can't tell you're huge from your face? You think your face doesn't give off how huge you are? Because I guarantee you it does.
It does.
But this is, it's delusional. You know what I mean? It's she's convinced herself that no, it's just she's astoundingly gorgeous. And she might have quite a lovely face.
It's basic reality that industries have no feeling towards you.
None whatsoever.
They will use, abuse anything. Your mistakes, your habits, your tendency for addiction, your health situation.
It's like with Russell Brand, when he was a sex addict doing drugs, they glorified him in Hollywood. When he stopped doing all of that, they now suddenly have 1,000,010 accusations against him, just like Andrew Tate. It's so interesting to see.
It's like to go and promote a certain...
Everything that is happening today in propaganda, in media, in schools, in every corner of the world is to feed the delusional self-worth so that you don't actually have self-worth. Because they know that if you actually did, you would have a solid foundation and relationship with God, and that's not what they want. So everything that is happening now is to separate you from God to the best of their abilities. And unfortunately, most people, they drink that up willingly, thinking it's empowerment, and they're doing themselves the biggest service.
You know, Layla, if you said nothing in the whole month to come and the whole month that passed, except the phrase that you just said, is enough. It's amazing.
Apparently it's not. Watch me post this and watch people be like, what do you mean? I can be confident and have a relationship with God? Okay, I'm confident.
Alhamdulillah.
Actually, I don't know how confident I am. I don't. I would like to believe that I'm confident, but my confidence stems from my relationship with God. Anything before that was very fake.
To use and abuse the alienation of the norm by the industry is a natural practice, is a normal practice. The only justification there is profit. And
Daddy, his phone vibrated.
Yeah, the only justification there is profit.
Yeah.
And it will be delusional from our side to think that they actually care about us.
I have a question to you. Because we've mentioned this in passing before in one of the episodes, but you've never had an issue with self-worth.
Oh, never.
Even though you come from a big family with a lot of siblings, well, and you've been through a lot in life, but you've never, and I know there are people out there that have tried to make you feel like you're small or insignificant, but it never shook you.
Okay, to be more accurate, I did suffer from it severely to a certain age.
Oh, okay.
But the healing and the recognition and the awakening came luckily at a very, very early age. One of the gifts that I've been blessed with is I was not plagued with the comparative mind.
Yes.
Where I am always comparing myself to others or others to others. And if this is one of the things I wanted to come to when how to heal from low self-esteem, I do believe, and it's based on long experience, it's much easier to heal from low self-esteem. It's almost next to impossible to heal from megalomania or whatever you want to call it. Because I had low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And coming from where I came, the backgrounds and so, it was like a given state. But what would feed on it and what would trap you in it for the rest of your life if you keep comparing.
Yeah.
The fact that what you've been given is a gift that needs to be praised. The minute you have low self-esteem, if you just ask, who gave me me? Who made me me? It's, you are a gift by God. And why are you rejecting his gift?
There's a quote, wait, I shall find it. Are you ready? It's one of my favorites and I post it on Instagram a lot. I would rather be what God chose to make me than the most glorious creature that I could think of. For to have been thought about, born in God's thought, and then made by God is the dearest, grandest, and most precious thing in all thinking. And it's just that simple. Whenever I found myself, God forbid, comparing myself to someone else or feeling really low about something or just having one of those days, I really take a second to think, God made me, took the time to gift me to my parents, to give me life. It's just, it's almost insulting to think of it in any other way except the most positive of ways.
His creation is the best. His gift is the best.
Yeah.
You know, what we call self-improvement is actually trying to go back to what he gave you in the most crisp, fresh form.
Yeah.
We are not actually improving in God creation. We're just going to it back. We're trying to...
We always talk about this. We always say that people don't change. Hot topic, but I stand by it.
They don't change.
It's humanly impossible. We are incapable of change. What happens is you go back to your origin, to your fitra, and it's something that you already had innately inside you. And layers of trauma, abuse, things that happen with trials and tribulations of life, they dust it, cover it, hide it, conceal it, whatever you want, but you don't change. When you heal, all you're doing is peeling back that dirt and that filth that covered what you already innately have. So I stand by it. People are incapable of change.
We are not capable of changing. And if we try, and by God's name we tried as humanity, and we failed miserably to change God's creation.
Are you talking about trans people?
No, I'm not. I'm just talking about...
Don't get me started.
I'm talking about hundreds of attempts to change God creation through history, and it never worked.
Yeah.
It never worked. The easiest path, instead of trying to change that is to go back to what that is.
Yeah.
I recall an incident that happened many, many years ago when I was early in university. I had a mentor, and he had a great impact on my life.
Abdul Hay.
And he had two amazing daughters with 1.5 year difference between them. And one of them came to him and emotionally overwhelmed, and a little girl, I think less than 10. And she's like, Daddy, I want to be special like everybody else. How could you be special?
I'm confused. Did she say this or did I say this?
Yeah, she did. She said that.
But you once said that I told you that.
Did I?
No.
I used it with you in a joking form. I was young. You want to be special like everybody else.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Yeah, but because that's most what the children do, and that's what is fed to us, that we need to be unique and special. And this is where the lie is, that you will become unique and special by doing exactly what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. Can I add to that? There's also a similar issue. Very close. They just change something ever so slightly, especially with modern day feminism and everything that's going on. They tell you, break the mold, break the cycle, do things differently, you know? Be naked on social media. Don't get married. Don't have kids. Break the cycle, you know? You're independent. Screw the patriarchy and all the stupid things they say. But then, and then girls, I swear, there's a genuine, especially with those extreme feminists, sense of delusion of you know, I'm doing things differently. I'm not falling victim to like what everyone else is doing. But then you're actually doing exactly what everyone else is doing.
Exactly.
You're not special because you shook your ass on Instagram. You're not special because You got naked on social media. You're just like everybody else.
You're just changing the mold.
Yeah. You know what's actually special? Do you know what's actually unique and admirable and phenomenal and amazing that women are doing? Not getting naked on social media. Mm. Actually coming out and saying, he leads the house and I make the home, you know? Actually saying, my husband is the leader of this house. I am a homemaker. That's actually quite unique. You know why? Because there are very few who have not only done it, but achieved it and maintained it. Now that's actually unique.
That's unique.
Yeah.
That's unique.
But if I say this, I'm a woman hater, but fine, I really don't care.
That's okay. That's all right. Just...
Oh, I don't, I really don't care because I fell victim to, subhanAllah, it's very interesting. Every time I talk to my girlfriends who've known me for 15 years or so, if I tell them, especially when they ask about the podcast now and they're like, what inspired it, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, you know, I fell victim for the feminist mindset and wear whatever you want and do whatever you want. And all of them without fail have had the reaction of, I don't know who you're talking to, but you were always really modest and not crazy. And I was like, what? But I don't know, maybe I think, maybe because I'm so anti all of that now that I'm maybe a little extreme with it. But generally speaking, I was always in the middle, balanced. Maybe, but skewed towards feminism, of course, because the idea of being independent and doing whatever you want, it sounds fantastic. But in theory, it does. In reality...
It's a trap.
It's hell.
It's a trap.
No, it's hell.
It's hell.
I think it's one of the main things or the main reasons women have low self-esteem today. I really do. I really do. And not I think, I know. I know for a fact.
Because in reality, it is built in this process of continuous comparison. And where the thresholds and the lines of comparison are so high, most cannot attain.
It is a very comparative world, for sure. In that world, especially, for sure.
When you go and choose a certain standard of so-called physical beauty, but that's not how we are created. We're created in different shapes and different sizes and different bodies. And there is beauty in all of those.
To a healthy amount.
Exactly.
To a healthy extent, yeah.
I always say the most beautiful state you are in is when you are at the healthiest.
Of course. But healthiest physically, mentally, spiritually, all of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, what is the use of being the alpha male? I don't want to use the woman example. Chiseled. And
Dad, you said chiseled last time. And
2 meter high and all of this. But you mentally is a wreck.
Yeah.
What is the use of that? Because one time when I was young, I had an alteration with the one in the family. He was a big guy, and he was like kind of imposing his physical on me. And I said, listen, go grow as big as you want, as strong as you want. You'll never be stronger than a donkey. That is a fact.
Yeah. A donkey back kicks him, he's gone.
Absolutely. So we as men, keeping healthy is very important. We as men, our strength does not come only from the physical.
Of course.
It is a factor. It's an important factor. But how many jerks you've seen that's so kind of showy with their physique,
mm-hmm.
but there is no substance behind
yeah,
that.
Yeah, of course. The majority.
So this is where self-esteem is really important, to know whom you are.
So wait, okay, we're saying low self-worth can come from, for example, one of the biggest examples is comparison. What's another one?
The thing is that comparison is planted in us as a seed from childhood. And one of the worst things parents do is to compare their siblings. To compare siblings to one to the other. Look at your sister, what she's doing. Look at your brother, what he's... This destroys the psyche.
Yeah.
And creates either a deep sense of inferiority.
Sorry, the chair keeps creaking.
Or it bounces. It kind of bounces in a negative way. And then you have this overcompensation and the sense of denial.
Yeah.
Because I am 10 and I am perfect is just simply denial.
Yeah. talking. It's one of my most hated videos.
It's okay. It's
oh, fine. No, but I enjoy it. You know why? Because if you watch the full podcast and then if you watch the actual clip, there is no mention at all that I mentioned boys or mentioned girls. Looks. No, I did mention girls. Uh-huh. I said girls. I didn't mention men or boys. And I didn't mention looks, physical looks. And if you watch the full podcast in that context, this is a self-improvement spiritual podcast. I'm always talking about healing your insides, right? Your brain. And all the girls just went to men and looks. And what does that show you the state of the world is in? Do women, what are their minds plagued by? Men and physical looks.
Yeah, extreme.
And if you want to ask me who are the women you're talking to, the thousands of comments under that video will prove my point. That's my point. It's insane.
It's the state of polarity we live in.
But it's also, I think the low self-worth, the fear of being wrong.
They all feed to it. And they're all the poisonous fruits of the tree.
Because there's also no room to self-reflect and maybe go like, oh, maybe that wasn't great. Because then it would show how...
When people fall in the trap of low self-esteem, they try to recover from it by always seeking validation from others.
But we've talked about this before.
And it doesn't work.
It doesn't. And the thing is, we usually tend to go seek it from the people who will never give it to us.
Absolutely.
And then we get stuck in this loop of... That's also how toxic relationships start, no? You're constantly seeking for your partner to validate you, to love you, to approve of you. And there's just... It's not coming, but you keep begging for it. And then we're stuck in this cycle. And it all stems down to you have no self-worth. Because and you cannot tell me that you love and believe in God if you're stuck in that situation. Because if you loved God, you would not disrespect yourself that much that you would stay stuck in a toxic, abusive cycle and then go pray to God, help me and get me out of it. Get out of it.
I would advise anybody.
I have to add a little thing. Women who are financially constrained and can't get out of it, I'm not talking about them. Obviously, we're always talking about you physically can literally just leave. Is it going to hurt? Yeah, leave.
Same for the man.
Yeah.
Same for the man. You know, it is important to understand the concept of humbleness.
Humility.
And it actually can heal low self-esteem.
I agree.
Because most people think by pushing themselves down, they are being humble. By not evaluating themselves in the proper way, they are being humble. Is that being humble?
No.
It's being unfair.
Yeah.
You be humble when you actually see and recognize the total gift of God that you've been given.
Yeah.
Acknowledge it and realize that's a God gift.
I had this conversation with someone about a month or two ago where they said something along the lines of they don't even want to acknowledge how blessed they are because then that's not humble. And I just looked at them and said, that's insanely disrespectful that you don't want to acknowledge how lucky and blessed you are and take a minute to thank God for giving you what he's given you. So they chose to completely ignore it because no, this way I'm humble. I'm not egotistical and full of myself and acknowledging how much abundance God has bestowed upon me. So... خلص. We're just going to end it there and we don't take a minute to actually bask in all that God has bestowed upon us and say thank you.
We're not talking about the fake humbleness, the show you bought.
Yeah. No, but I don't think that was fake. I think they genuinely thought that was correct.
I don't know them. I don't know whom you're talking about. I still would doubt it. Because when you actually... are blessed with a sense of proper humbleness.
Yeah.
It actually comes from the deep realization of God's gift and that it's a gift. By saying it is not there or acting like it's not, does not exist, that doesn't do you good. By not being able to see it and you just see faults and misdeeds or that do not exist, that's you're not doing yourself good and you're not being humble.
Yeah.
by over exaggerating and creating a persona and claiming you are something else.
Yeah.
That's the extreme, which I actually almost allergic to.
Also, did you answer the question of your relationship with self-worth?
Oh, my relationship with self-worth. It was in early years of university that I started to make the connection. And I started to understand that just being who I am is more than enough. I didn't have to grow taller. I didn't have to be bigger. I don't have to change the color of my hair or the tone of my skin or the background I have. Because it's funny that I grow up, people didn't even know where I am from because the way I spoke, the accent I spoke and so. And it's just when I suddenly realized that just being you is enough. And there is so much gift with just being you. No need to be anything else. Just go and remove the dust.
Yeah.
Dust away what has been already, the gifts that you've been given and you're not using. And it was to my surprise that I discovered that I have talents I didn't know I have. And like, I could speak of few things I mastered in life, which I am not going to. But it just came natural. It's to the point that even learning languages, I used to say that I felt that the languages were within me. I just had to remove the dust from them. It was that easy.
I get you.
And this is one of the messages that I try to implement in my children. Just don't try to be anything. It's just be you.
I know you did, and I feel like I went through phases where sometimes I'd apply it, sometimes no, but just because I was not fully healed. The self-worth to me, I've mentioned this before, but it was before we started doing the full podcast episodes. My friend Bana Al-Alami brought to my attention that self-worth and self-value wasn't one of my core values. And when she put it into perspective that way, and I started living my life every day with self-worth being one of my core values. So every day, every action I took had to allow myself to have self-worth, be it the decisions I made, the places I went to, the food I even put into my system. It really made it the world of a difference. I think a lot of people will claim they have self-worth and self-value, but what are you doing for your self-worth and your self-value? Do you get what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think that every little day decisions you take are what determine whether or not you truly have it or it's just a facade.
I'll give you a very simple example. I was in the car with someone and he was talking about himself. And he said, he's talking about his position and his salary, and he quoted the figure that he makes, and he says, and he quoted it with so much pride. And he said, someone like me cannot hope for a bigger salary. And I looked at him and I said, and who created that ceiling?
Self-made.
Huh? That was his reaction, huh? I said, who created that? Who put that ceiling above your head?
Yeah. Subhanallah, yesterday, my friend and I, we were saying, truly, people have become so limited with their mindset. Not only limited, they've begun to warp scenarios and situations to fit whatever limitation they've self-inflicted.
Self-inflicted.
And then they want to inflict it on you.
Exactly.
And you have to swallow it up and say thank you. No.
And
no thank you.
They're so desperately trying to tell you, to sell you their justification as a story. It's not a story. It's just a justification.
It's wild. But I think all of that, low self-worth and low self-esteem has a lot to do with everything, with all of that. Because limited mindset has to do with low self-esteem. But all of it, again, back to your relationship with God. Because if you had a relationship with God, your mindset wouldn't be limited. And I always say this, but it goes back to, it's almost, astaghfirullah, disrespectful towards God to have a limited mindset. Because whose word is stronger, yours or his?
Alhamdulillah.
And what did he say you could do? Anything. What did he say he could give you? anything. And what does he always say? كمان لأن شكرتم لأزيدنكم. And I really believe this. If you are grateful, I will give you more. So there is, and there's no limit with that statement. It is limitless. The more grateful you are, the more I will give you. And there is no limit. So it blows my mind that people value themselves so highly that their word seems to be stronger than God's. And we have to all abide by it. Otherwise, we're crazy.
And the only limitation there is you. You are the only limitation.
Yeah, it's a self-inflicted limitation.
Your own perception of yourself is the only limitation.
But even the self-worth, because it's a self-inflicted limitation. If you want to go back to God, وَالتِّينِ وَزَيْتُونَ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ وَخَلَقْنَاهُ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. And you and I had a back and forth about this privately, but you're right. The truth is, first and foremost, خَلَقْنَاهُ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. And he doesn't say, hey, Khalid, just you, not Layla. You know what I mean? Just Shireen, her sister, but not Zimo. خَلَق everyone. So this lack of self-worth is very... it should be translated. خَلَقْنَاهُ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ means we made him perfect. So we made mankind perfect in the best of shape. And that shape here is mentally, physically, spiritually, everything. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ means then we have made them the lowest of the low, which obviously... It's interesting. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ then we have made them the lowest of the low. People seem to choose that route willingly. They just hop on that train and yalla.
What I would add to the subject,
yeah, go for it,
is that I actually do not see any difference between low self-esteem and an exaggerated high self-esteem, in the sense that both they come from the same problem, from the same area. The manifestation is different. Now, those who have low self-esteem are much easier to deal with and much easier to help. In any case, they need to realize that they need help and they need to ask for it. And they need, but it's doable. It's very much doable. Those who adopted the other mechanism of defense, which is the
over self-inflated sense of self.
Yeah, I would advise anybody who deals with them step away.
Yeah, it's not worth it. I agree.
It's not worth. I paid very heavy price in my life, thinking that I can salvage or save one or two of those. It's not worth it.
Yeah. I agree. And funny enough, those people tend to be the most average. They're quite average looking. Average IQ. Average income. They're quite average. At least the ones I've encountered.
I would claim that their IQ is way less than average.
Yeah, I know. But I'm trying to... But do you understand what I meant by the average when we first started? I've really noticed, especially with social media and with the newest trends when it comes to mental improvements, we've really made it a sin to be average. Everyone has to aim to be more than average. So average-looking women are no longer accepting average-looking men. And I'm not saying average in an insulting way here. It's so okay to be average. Not everyone's going to be the smartest. Not everyone's going to be the wisest or the fittest or the blondest or the whatever it is, you know? And we've made it a crime to be average, but it's totally okay for you to claim you're something you're not. So...
That's what led to...
But I want to know why it's such a... Why is it aib to be average?
This is what led to what I call the filter society.
Oh, the filters on social media, yeah.
You know, it actually happened. I had an interview. I am interviewing somebody for a position. And the person came and I couldn't recognize her. Because the photo that was sent and the reality... The only thing I could find is a mole in the face, which is the same.
Wow.
But why? If you're willing to lie that much with a simple thing like your photo, how can I trust you with a position?
Yeah, I know. That's extreme insecurity. And it's the chicken or the egg. Is it social media? Or is it, I get you. But I'm trying to remember when average became such a crime.
Well, let me tell you that most of the women who are married and honored and have children and they have husbands that are willing to die for them and children that are willing to die for them are less than average. But what makes them valuable is the fact that they are...
You know why? Are you saying less than average physically looking here?
Yes.
There was a study that came out that said you because you know how this trend comes out all the time when a couple is dating for long enough or married for long enough, some people start to say, oh, they resemble each other. But the truth is, there was a study that came out that you don't actually marry the person that looks like you or resembles you physically. You actually end up marrying subconsciously the one who is... matches your IQ level. So most people who are married to each other match each other's IQ level. And when I read this study and read about it and heard about it, honestly, a lot of couples started to make a lot more sense. Because a lot of them, when I was like, I don't get it, I get it. I get
no,
it.
No, I get it.
I get it now. You actually end up marrying someone that matches your IQ. Makes sense.
Look at our grandmothers and mothers and if you go to any rural area, women are not married because...
No, but I'm asking, when did this average thing become... I want to say it started in the 2000s.
It's selling this delusion that you can excel and become something that you are not. That's a delusion. Excel, everybody can excel.
I want to bring back average. I want to bring back average people and average homes because and average lives. And
we are average.
You know? Everyone's just aiming to be bigger and better than what they are. And the problem with that is that they're always focused on the bigger and the better. And they some of them will confuse it and think it's manifesting in law of attraction. But the focusing on what you lack is in itself a negative experience, which I think Khalil Gibran and someone else have spoken about. But they're so focused on that that they can't even take a second to acknowledge what they do have and be present. And if you cannot take a second to acknowledge what you have and be present, how can you have self-worth? Think about it. Because I'm just focused on what I don't have. I'm not focused on what I do have.
Also, the criteria of evaluation of worth had changed dramatically in the last few decades. Now it's all about how much materialistic things you own.
Yeah.
And it was not really... Do you know that there are societies where the wealthiest of them were generally the traders, the very wealthy, but they were not ranked at the top of the society.
Yeah.
They were not. The spiritual ones, they were a lot of criteria, but traders are wealthy. They have a lot of money,
yeah.
But they're not at the top of the society. Nowadays, it's all about how much money you have.
Yeah. And we need to end this with Bismillah, how to feel self-worth.
You need to examine, you need to re-question all the criteria that have been put on you. You need, genuinely speaking, if you really want to leave a low self-esteem state, I am telling you, you can, it's easy.
I think so.
Go back to the basics. Recognize whom you are. You are a gift by God. And if you believe in God and if you have an average, less than an average relationship with God, you have a way out. If you're disconnected and you think it's all about you, I don't know.
Can I tell you something as well? Especially with the comparison. Because a lot of times when people compare themselves to someone else, there's also a sense of sometimes looking up to that other person. And it kind of dawned on me that most of these people that people look up to, either celebrities or whatever, that they aspire to emulate or to recreate or to live like them or look like them or whatever, have the lowest self-worth imaginable. And be careful who you look up to. If you're looking up to someone who lacks self-worth, you will attract that energy. That's why I don't even buy products or paintings or artwork by anyone who's committed suicide. It's just
absolutely
not a thing. It's
no.
Hell no. Take that energy the fuck away from me. Hell no. But people will still do it. Philippe Lain, Alexander McQueen. Alexander McQueen, Kate Spade, suicide. And they still buy their products and it blows my mind.
Alhamdulillah.
It blows my mind.
Not
to disrespect that they committed suicide. It's tragic. That being said, it's not a Muslim thing.
I cannot respect that.
I'm not respecting it.
And I cannot...
I'm not respecting it, but I'm also not disrespecting it. Do you know what I mean? I'm not validating it, but I'm not going to disrespect it. It's a tragic thing. that being said, I'm not going to go honor you and buy your products.
Yes, and it's the worst form of appreciation.
It is.
It's the manifestation of lack of appreciation to God's gift.
I agree.
And subhanAllah, it also proves what we're saying. Physical success and attaining social recognition and so might not give you the fulfillment that you're looking for, might not change your low self-esteem. If you really have a proper self-esteem, which is just proper, it reflects the reality of whom you are and the gift that you've been given, that's fine. You're just okay.
Yeah.
You're just okay. You're humble enough. You have enough awakening. You have enough recognition and you have enough appreciation of whom you are and the gift that's been given to you. And that's لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. This is the state of shukr that Allah wants from you.
Yeah.
It's not going just around, thank you. All right, go say thank you. That's fine. Live it is more important.
Of course. This is why I agree. I don't remember who wrote this, but with Law of Attraction, which I really think we should do an entire episode about, it's very true. Focusing on wanting a better experience, wanting a better outcome with Law of Attraction, it's, you don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. So like you said, it's not just about saying thank you. Live it. Be actually grateful in your everyday life. And with Law of Attraction, people really get it confused. It's not, I want this. The constant focusing on what you want is only reinforcing what you lack. Energetically, you're just focusing on, I don't have it and I want it, you know? And by that same logic, right across the road, accepting a negative experience and just letting it go is in itself a positive experience. And believe it or not, that actually adds a lot to your self-worth, a lot to your self-confidence. People don't make the correlation, but they're very much correlated.
It disconnects you from the victim mentality.
Yeah. And also people need to stop romanticizing martyrdom. I really don't like it. And I'm not talking about war martyrdom. I mentioned this last time, I survived this abuse and I survived my parents' neglect and this is why I am the way I am. Babe, you and a million other people, 100 million other people, stop romanticizing it. You know what I mean? That's very not much. What, just be present, just be grateful. That's what will give you
once,
what you need.
Once I said, we do our best to avoid our children the traumas we lived.
Mm-hmm.
They go, they create their own traumas.
Yeah.
Because we need traumas. It's an essential part of our life.
Yeah, I'm grateful for all of mine because they got me where I am today. But I'm good.
Alhamdulillah.
I don't need to talk about them. I actually, subhanAllah, I had one girl DM me. She's like, Layla, I've heard you mention a few times that you've been through a lot. Could you make an episode and talk about it?
No.
And I answered very honestly and very, very politely. I just said, I believe that anything you've been through, you can come out on top. I know what I've been through. The people closest to me know what I've been through. I don't need to talk about it to validate to you what I'm saying and to tell you, see, look at what I've been through and look at how I've overcome it. Please, please believe that what I'm saying is true. I don't need to. What I say stands firm, regardless of if I've been through it, you've been through it, the neighbor has been through it, you know? And I want people not to focus on, oh, haram, poor Layla, what she had to endure. I want them to really listen to what I'm saying without muddying the waters of what I've been through. I know what I've been through. God knows what I've been through. That's enough. And if I'm being honest, I actually don't care.
The details of the traumas are irrelevant.
It doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't. If trauma was inflicted by someone, that person means nothing to me. And who has the time to sit and reminisce and resent? I'm really good.
Especially if the stage of the trauma is over.
Mishmas over. I, like I said, I've accepted the negative experience. I've taken the best that it has given me and I'm so grateful for it. So I don't need to relive and rehash. Focus on what I'm saying and where we're at. And even with me saying what I'm saying, in the back of my mind, obviously I have some of the things that I've been through because they're where I got this lesson from. And I'm just saying, alhamdulillah, look at how far we've made it, you know? But I don't need to romanticize the martyrdom. So when we're giving these examples or these stories or these, bismillah, anecdotes and lessons, everyone listening is reflecting on something they've been through with someone or personally, whatever, right? That's what I'm trying to say. Take it recognize where you are or where you can be or how you can get out of it and just be, look forward to it and be grateful. There's no need to romanticize martyrdom.
Now it's your task to do the best out of it. If you want to. It's just sharing an experience.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
That's it. Anyway, thanks, Pops. We need to go eat because I'm starving.
Allah. Yes, and you're inviting me.
Yes, I am.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, Habibi.